You can open your scriptures today as we walk into this first Sunday of Lent. We're going to begin, and we're going to begin in the book of Luke. And this is a special occasion because, you know, this is my new Bible, right? This is my new NASB Bible, and I love it. I'm getting used to it. Of course, the pages still aren't cooperating, but I have something to show you because I love doing this. This is something that I truly love to do. I made my first coloring book sermon. Okay? See all the pretty colors in there? I love doing that because I claim this word as my own, because it is my own. It's what God's given to me. And every time I write in it, every time I highlight, every time I make one of these coloring book sermons, I realize that God's painting those pictures on my heart as well. And it's my privilege to paint them into your lives, because God has a way of painting an artistry of life that no one else can do. I mean, have you ever seen anybody who can paint a sunrise like the Lord Himself? Or a sunset, or a spring morning in the woods, or even better yet, an autumn morning in the woods? And I know many of you are thinking right now, don't talk about the cold, don't talk about the cold. But let me tell you something. When you wake up after a nice snowstorm or a rain and it's frozen on the trees, is there anything more beautiful? There's nothing more beautiful. And that's what God wants us to see. In all that is and all that will be, God is there and His beauty is there. But in that beauty also lies a darkness, because death is right there on the door. As beautiful as the cold is outside is as deadly as it is too, isn't it? As beautiful as a waterfall is as deadly as a waterfall. And it's kind of hard to put those things into process. But today we're going to look at a part of that process of understanding the cross and understanding our responsibility in it. Because we need to live by faith, and that means death to self. You know, a lot of people, you know, we all understand that, right? All of us understand that, right? Now, the question is, how many of us follow it all the time? And the answer to that is, There was only ever one that I know of. But for the rest of us, it's to try. Okay, it is to try. It is to work it out until that day. So if you would, opening your Bibles to verse 18 in Luke 9, we're going to start looking at just what it means to be living by faith and finding death to self, and in that, finding life. From verse 18, we read these words, "And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, 'Who do the people say that I am?' And they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again.'" Please remember that, because we're going to come back to that, okay? Then he goes on and he says to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone. Does that sound like something that you'd think Jesus would say? Don't tell anybody this. Didn't he tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes, he did, but not at this time, in this place of history. Some people look at that, and there are Christians who have said to me, "Oh, Jesus did tell them not to tell anybody about this." That was before the cross. That was before the cross. He was not to die before his time. And it wasn't yet his time. So they were told to hold on to that, because there were some things coming that they needed to understand, that they needed to walk through, that was going to prepare them for what was coming. But God was giving them an inkling of who this guy was. And Jesus then went on to tell them what was going to happen. He says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man's profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And I'm going to explain that. That's where we're going to end today. The first thing I want us to look at isn't the verses that we started with. We're going to jump into the middle here, into verses 23 and 24. In verses 23 and 24, it says that we're all to take up our cross and come after him, to follow him. Daily, we're to do this. So does that sound like it's something you do once and done? No, that means every day, every thought, every moment of every day, we have to take up our cross. It's a conscious choice to leave behind the things of this world, to carry them on our shoulders because they're going to be a burden, they're going to distract you, they're going to weigh you down, but we need to take them up, forsaking them, and follow Christ. Doing what is right, doing what is good, doing as His Word tells us to do. Because we're in this world, we're going to drag a lot of baggage with us. How many of us come with no baggage? I hate to tell you this, we all have baggage. Some of us need a FedEx truck following us around. Because we got more baggage than we can carry. And today we're going to learn about how to ease the weight of that burden. Because when we truly begin to walk in death to self, because Christ says here that whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Okay? That's talking about death to self. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. When we look at who we are meant to be rather than who we are, we find a difference. We find a reality that sets us apart to eternity. When we walk in this world, living as this world would have us live, living in all the luxury and the prime and all the things that the world raises up, I have to ask the question, is there any eternal good in it? Well, the answer to that is no. No. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the intelligence of the world. And none of it is going to matter when you stand before God. Because nobody can reason their way into heaven, and nobody can pay their way into heaven. Because God requires a holy life. Always did, and always will. And how many of us measure up to that? No, not one, according to the Scriptures. No, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus paid a price for us on the cross of Calvary, and we all know this. But we're talking Lent, so I have to remind you, and I have to ask you once again, to begin this walk, this journey. As we go through these 40 days are a symbolic reasoning of what Christ went through in the wilderness. It is a time of preparation, of looking back into our lives and seeing where we have fallen short and taking it up once again and realizing that God doesn't hold it against us if we confess it and walk with Him into the future. When we take up that cross every day, in every way, in every aspect that we've fallen short, Jesus covers it all. But I will tell you this, if there's something that you don't take before the cross, He will not cover it. You have to take it there. And when you do, He covers it. And you no longer have to carry the weight. You no longer have to carry the guilt. You no longer have to carry the shame. You no longer have to carry the fear. because perfect love casts out all fear. So what then are we to become? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Keep a finger there. Turn in your Bible to the book of Romans, just back a few pages. We're going to be in Romans 8, beginning in verse 12. From the 12th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we read these words. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit, and we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we might also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. When you think about what one moment in glory is going to be like, none of the sufferings of this world, none of the stuff that we've had to carry on the cross will compare. For those things will be shod off, and the glory that we will receive will outweigh all the glitz and glitter that this world has ever promised. I want you to think about this. When Jesus was out in the wilderness, when Jesus Christ was being tempted by Satan himself, we're not tempted by Satan himself. We're tempted by all the things that are normal to human beings. Okay? Now, yes, I will agree, Satan's minions, his demons do come after us at times, all right? But to say Satan is on my back, that's a pretty big gesture. Number one, you ain't that important. Neither am I. All right? But Satan, the great Satan, was chasing after the Lord Jesus. And every time he tempted him, what did he tempt him with? Glorious things. Oh, I'll make you king of everything. Well, if you're the Son of God, you know, prove yourself. Turn these stones into bread. Why are you starving? If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down and the angels will catch you. And every time he was tempted to show his glory, to reveal his glory, did he do it? No. Every time he was tempted, he turned to the Scripture. Every time he was tempted, he turned back to the Father. Every time he was tempted, he turned back to righteousness. And he didn't attack Satan. He didn't go after him. He just quoted Scripture. He just quoted Scripture. Because Jesus knew that nothing Satan could give him. Because remember, yes, every kingdom in this world is his right now. But how long does that last? Doesn't last forever. You see, he's only king here for a little while because there is a coming king. And Jesus knew who he was. And he knew that when his kingdom was established, it was going to be forever. And you and I need to understand that because that's exactly what this scripture is telling us here. We don't need to worry about the glitz and the glitter here. I don't need that brand new Lexus. Okay? I don't need a whole lot of stuff that much of the world tells me I do need. All I have to do is turn on the TV and watch the TV, and it's so amazing because there's more commercials on TV now than there are programs. I can remember when I was a kid, you would have like 2 minutes of commercials and then there'd be programming. Now you get 2 minutes of programming and there's commercials. Okay, a one-hour program. Do you know how long the program actually is? A one-hour program is 38 minutes. 38 minutes. That means out of an hour, 22 minutes. It's commercials. to try and get you to buy something you don't need. How many people in this world are swayed by the commercials that we see? Young girls who are beautiful young girls in their own right with the body that the Lord has given them, with the intellect and who they are. They see these commercials that, oh, I need to be with them. I have to have the... And it's not just young ladies. It's the young men. It's the young men. Buy this. Get that. Folks, one moment in glory will not compare to all the stuff this world wants to pile on your back, because all it becomes is baggage. You've got to keep it up. But the things God gives us are free and last forever, and we don't have to keep anything up. He does it. And when we give it up, we gain so much more. You and I need to understand that there are going to be people here who don't like what we have to say. And that's the next portion that I want you to look at. Look back at your original verses here. And this is verse 25 and 26. And it says, For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Well, how does that translate to the world? How does that translate to what we see happening today? And if you remember at the beginning, I said, hang on to that because we're going to get back to that. Jesus asked him, Who do the people say that I am? Because we have a lot of people out there in this world that if you ask them, are you a Christian? They'll say, oh, yes. Well, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, yeah, Jesus was a good man. Because isn't that what they said? He wasn't the Christ. He wasn't the Son of God. He was something other. And that's exactly what a lot of the people in our world who don't attend church, and many who do attend church, say. They say he's a good man. Well, he was a good teacher. Is he the Son of God? Well, I'm not so sure about all that. And Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, what more do we have than his word? He is the word, correct? John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word and still is. That's the part people forget. And we need to understand that message rings true today, because there are a lot of people out there who are saying, well, you know, God said that in the Old Testament, or God said that back then, and, you know, things are different now. Society's progressed. Excuse me, Jesus Christ the same? Isn't that amazing? According to them, he was God yesterday, but not today. And certainly not tomorrow. And that's wrong. That's where this scripture speaks to us even today. And the next question that he asks, what is the next question that Jesus asked his disciples, people? Look in your Bible. What does it say? What's the very next question he asked them? Who do you say that I am? This is the question that us carrying our cross every day answers, because the way people look at you and how you live your life answers that question. We don't have to always be speaking it, but we have always to be living it, that Jesus is the Christ, that his word is our way, and that the two are the same. I am the way, just as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So too, people need to understand that we have come by the way. And we are in that way. And we are of that way. And that's what our life portrays. So many of us walk around and we cannot tell the difference between the world and a believer. Because we look like each other, we talk like each other, we act like each other. And what doth light and Baal have in common? Nothing. Light and darkness have nothing in common. But yet, what does our life speak? Peter answered well. Peter answered well. And Jesus says in the book of Matthew on this very same subject, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, was he talking about Peter? No, he was talking about the faith that Peter professed, that you are the Son of God, the Christ. And that's what our lives should be speaking, because it is upon that faith that God will build his foundation, that God will build his church where we need to walk as a congregation. Today, Brother Charles said to me here in the back, Pastor, nobody's here. I said, Charles, there are people here. He said, oh, you know what I mean. I said, yeah. I said, Brother David is preaching over at St. Stephen's. He got a phone call this morning, and Pastor Ron Salem fell and hurt his back. So David, Johnny on the spot, boom, off he went. He's carrying his cross. He's answering the question. Okay? Stephen, Leslie, and the kids, they're not here today. Why? Because mom passed away last night. They had a late night, an emotional night, a lot of pouring out, and they're probably going to need to be with dad today. So we're not going to see Steve or Leslie or the kids tonight either, and I know that. And we need to be raising them up because they are about their faith. They are doing what they need to do, because I hate to tell you all this, according to Leslie last night, she's not sure of where her dad is. He's a Mason. And I don't mean a bricklayer, okay? And she asked for prayers. So she's with her dad today. And we need to be praying for that relationship. And I'm not talking about Leslie and her dad. I'm talking about her dad and our dad. Because we need to pray him into the kingdom. And then there are others who aren't here. And they're not here for other reasons. It may be work, and that's providing for your family. Okay, that's where your dad is, Charles, right? There may be others who are not here because somebody's sick and they're home taking care. But one of the things that we need to understand is when we come together, no matter where we are, we're still the body of Christ. And are we portraying what we're meant to portray? Are we answering that question well? Because when we're here, whether it's five of us or 500 of us, if we're not answering the question well, then we're answering the question wrong, and we aren't who we say we are. We're believing the very same thing that the first people believed. And we're truly being ashamed of the gospel. And that brings with it a very great judgment. Okay? Because Christ will be ashamed of them in glory. And that is a horrible thing, to have the face of God turn away from you in glory. And we don't want that. Now, for those of us who are in Christ, for some of us, we mess up. How many of you have never messed up? But the awesome thing is, what that's going to mean is not a loss of salvation, but it may very well mean a loss of reward. It may very well mean a loss of position, that God had more for us to attain in glory. But we didn't attain everything that we were capable of. Now, you know, this is kind of funny because, you know, how many of you parents out there want the very best for your kids? Yeah. I know I do. But how many of us are willing to settle for second best for ourselves when it comes to our spiritual walk? We want the best for our kids in the world. But when it comes to our spiritual walk and what we're truly teaching our kids, are we showing them that we want God's best for us? Are we pleasing our heavenly parent the way we want to be pleased, so that our children have the example to follow? Because remember, they do follow where they're led. They are sheep, just as we are. So we need to ask ourselves, what is the outcome of all this? How does this help us? Well, this helps us in a very great way because it says here in this last verse, in verse 27, "But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." When I first started reading the scriptures and when I was first a Christian, I had a hard time understanding that. Because I'm thinking, wait a minute, none of those people lived until the kingdom came in. How did they see the kingdom? How in the world did they get to see the kingdom? You know, Jesus, you got to explain this to me because this is a mystery. How in the world do they get to see the kingdom? They're not going to die until they see the kingdom? How can that happen? You got to die to see the kingdom. And then one day, in Christ, it struck me, just like a brick. Whack, you idiot! Death to self. And as soon as I die to self, my eyes are open to the kingdom of God around me. How can I see the glory of God in icicles on a 3-degree morning? How can I see the glory of God in the death of a loved one's parent? How can I see the glory of God in the sufferings of this world? Because my eyes have been opened and I have tasted death to self, death to this physical person, and my eyes are open to the kingdom of God, and I know the hope that I have. Last night, I was talking with Leslie. And it's just so amazing to me how God gives me things that are so real and so pertinent for the moment. And she was really worked up. The pastor's doing his best not to cry because one of his sheep is hurting greatly. And we're talking, and she said, "It was such a good day, and I feel so bad because, you know, we were celebrating Amber's birthday, and Mom and Dad went home, and then they come back, and this happens." And in that moment, God said, "Tell her. Tell her." And I said, "Leslie, this is a good thing." I said, "Your mom knew the Lord, right?" "Yeah. Yeah, Mom went to church, and she was telling me the church that she went to." And it's funny because I know the church. I know the pastor that was there. In fact, I know the last two pastors that were there. And they have a new pastor now. Don't know him, but I'm going to get to know him. Because it's an EA church. Isn't that cool? Small world. And I said, "Leslie, she went home." I said, "Exactly what happened, happened." I said, "Listen, she had the greatest day. She was with her family celebrating the birthday of her granddaughter, someone that she loved, her only daughter's daughter. And she had a great day, and she went home." I said, "Leslie, did you hear me? Isn't that our hope? She went home. Are you hearing me, people? What a day. What a glorious day. Because in this world, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth because she died. But in the kingdom, there is a glory that we all hold." Because I told Pete earlier, man, I'm striving to get home. I want to get home. God sent me back 7 times now. He don't want me. Yet. Because there's work yet to do. Because I want to glory in Him. I want to see the kingdom. And I want to teach you how to see the kingdom. Because it is in that reality that we know that the hope we have is true. It is real. And it is God living and working in our lives. And we have nothing to fear. But we have got to answer the question the way Peter answered it. With our lives and with our words. You are God's Son, the Christ. And when we answer it, and we take up that cross, and carry it after Him every day. Remember, Jesus carried His cross. I think this is one of the most amazing things. When you think about Roman crucifixion, very few of them ever carried their cross to the station where they were crucified, because it was all put up and prepped and everything else. But Christ's trial and execution happened so fast, they didn't have time to get it all together. So Jesus literally showed us this very scripture for all of us to see and know and understand, because he carried his cross, a beaten, almost dead man, carried his cross till he could carry it no more. And then the Roman guards took a man along the sideline, Simeon, and pulled him out and said, "You carry his cross." How do you think Simeon felt? He was probably scared to death because he knew what that cross meant and he didn't want to be on it. You see, to the people of his day, when he spoke to them and said, "Take up your cross and follow me," they all knew what that meant. It meant dying. Literally, figuratively, dying. And none of them wanted to die in that fashion. And aren't we glad that we don't have to die in that fashion? Christ went there for us. All we have to do is spiritually take up those things, mount them up. And brothers and sisters, Christ carried them on his cross. The weight was on his shoulders. We don't have to carry the weight. We don't have to carry the guilt. We don't have to carry the shame. We simply have to pick it up. And as soon as we do, Christ meets us in the cross and takes the weight. And we can live that life. And we will see the kingdom of God now, today, and forever. Is that something worth journeying with Christ for? Because I'll guarantee you, I'd rather gain all eternity than all the world. Would you pray with me this day? Gracious Father, we thank you so much that you sent your Son, that he would carry this cross. But Lord, you ask us to pick up our cross spiritually every day, for every moment, in every situation that comes our way, and make the right decisions. And as we do, Lord, it speaks the answer to the question of who we say that you are, and it gives that witness to the world. And in it, Lord, we see glory. We see heaven, no matter what this world may throw at us. So, Father, may our witness speak well to you. May our journey be one that you have chosen, that we can speak the word of Christ into it, that all of creation would know that you are the Christ. Father, I ask that you bless each and every person here, that no matter what their struggles may be, no matter where they may be led in this world, that by you they may be led unto eternity. For in you is the transformation of this life to an eternal one. That we are heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And all of glory is ours. Not just then, but Lord, even now. For these things, O gracious Father, we give thee thanks, grace, and praise. And all God's church said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.